Let's gather around the table one more time before we transition to Christmas and all that it brings. And next week we will begin a new series titled, Don't Be a Grinch. And we're going to learn over the next few weeks how to get the most out of the holiday. But let's have a cup of coffee this morning, can we? There's something that really prevents us from getting the most out of these opportunities around the table. There's one issue that roots into our hearts that prevents us from developing deep, lasting relationships. There's a story about a woman, the wife of the family, that's had it up to here with her husband. And this story goes where she's just at her limit. So she decides to go to a judge and file for divorce. There's a clown in the background. I'm sorry. So the woman goes to the judge, and she asks the judge, can you help me file for divorce? She told the judge that she had nagged him and nagged him and nagged him, but he just wouldn't do right. Don't laugh, guys. The judge listened, and when she was done nagging, he responded to the tune of Romans chapter 12. He asked the woman if she had tried to heap burning coals on his head. The woman answered, no, I don't think that'll work, though. You see, I've already tried scalding water. That didn't do any good. Sometimes our relationships take a nosedive, and we just can't seem to forgive each other. So how do we respond? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and see what He has to say for us. Father, we thank You for the day You've given us, for the opportunity we have to gather into Your house and worship. What an honor it's been to study Your Word this last hour in groups. And I pray that as we listen now, that You would speak. And as we are diligent in Your Word, Father, that You would move. So God, this morning give us ears to hear and open our hearts to understand what You're trying to communicate. And God, what we can bring to the table with our friends, with our neighbors, with our family, and even with that person. So God, move in the next few minutes. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 32, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. There are a couple of words in this verse that are incredibly impactful. Kindness, compassion, maybe your translation says tender-hearted, forgiving. The first two words, kindness and compassion, are adjectives. Forgiving is the verb. And the kind of verb it is, it's an ongoing action. It's an action that starts and never stops. It's not something that you can do once and be done with. It's something that has to be repeated and continued over and over again. But something you miss when you read English that you don't catch with these words. That first one, kindness, the root of that word is Christos. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? That sounds like someone's name. That word means grace. Tenderheartedness, kindness. The second word, compassion, is kairo, which is favor, grace, as we look at forgiving. What Paul is trying to communicate to the Ephesian church here, as he wraps up this letter, is that we should, as believers in Jesus, adopt forgiveness as one of our attributes. What kind of forgiveness? A forgiveness that is kind and compassionate. Paul is admonishing the church to carry this character with them, to carry it with you. So I don't know what your table was like this week. I'll say this, and I guess I'll apologize now. But we were sitting at the table, and Rachel turns to me and she says, "You know, you've preached all month about that person you're going to sit next to at the table for Thanksgiving." She said, "That person is me. So what problem do you have with me?" I'm like, "You know, I didn't think about that." And I didn't mean it that way at all. But we all have people in our circles that we struggle with. You know, when you sit down with people or when you engage with people, I think about my neighbor who wanders around and gets in everyone's business. And you think about coworkers that are hard to deal with, or some kind of companion that you're stuck with that is just hard to handle. Does your character consist of kindness and compassion? Do others look at you and think, "They're a forgiving person," or, "Man, they know how to hold a grudge"? You know, when it comes to forgiveness, the reality is a lack of it, listen to me, a lack of forgiveness hurts you more than it hurts them. Whatever beef you may have with someone else, friend, it hurts you when you don't forgive. A lot of times the other person has no clue what's going on. The reality is, when we forgive, it brings freedom. What does Paul say here? Be kind to one another. Be compassionate. Forgive each other. Why? Why? Just as Christ, God in Christ, has forgiven you. It kind of leads us to ask the question, who are you to withhold forgiveness from someone else? But we established at the beginning of worship that God created us. He made us. We didn't make ourselves. So our Creator forgives us of our sin. So who are we to withhold forgiveness from someone else? If we keep reading Paul's letter, it says in chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God. We're supposed to follow after the pattern that He gave us. As His children, we are to walk in love. Just as Christ loved us and He gave Himself up for us as an offering. Jackson, remember this? A fragrant offering is what the Bible says. As we engage in relationship with other people, we are to be a fragrance of forgiveness, kind and compassionate toward one another. It's amazing. Here's the reality. Unforgiveness is a trap. It kind of reminds me of a story. You know, there was one day that Jesus was teaching in the temple, on the temple grounds. And as He was teaching, there were some religious leaders that approached Him. And their motive in approaching Jesus was to trap him. You see, their goal was to find a reason to accuse Jesus of wrongdoing so they could put him in jail, they could kill him, they could get rid of the problem. Well, they laid a trap. But it didn't just include Jesus, it included a woman. You see, they had laid a trap for a woman and caught this woman in the act of adultery. Now, if you don't know what that word means, ask your parents after church. They'd love to explain it to you. But they found this woman, and they immediately took this woman to Jesus. Now, mind you, Jesus was on the temple grounds teaching. And they bring this woman. Can you imagine your sin being exposed to the world in the middle of church? They drug her right in the middle of everyone and brought her to Jesus and said, "Jesus, look at this woman and what she has done. What do you want to do about it?" Now, if we understood the law, we would understand clearly that the punishment for her crime, her offense, her sin was death. It was death. That's what the law of Moses said. And the religious leaders were hoping, they were just hoping that Jesus would say something one way or the other where they could hang him on a nail for. And as they asked and as they waited for a response from Jesus, right there in the middle of everyone, Jesus did this. It's amazing. Jesus got down on the ground. And he started writing or drawing in the dirt. Now, what Jesus drew, that's not for us to say. But then he said this to the religious leaders around, the elite all around him. He said this: "He who is without sin, that one, you can go ahead and pick up the stone and throw it." You see, that was the method of punishment for this crime. You would stone her. And as Jesus continued to draw, and the woman sat in shame, he waited for the stones to fly. Guess what? Not one of them picked up a stone. You see, one by one, each of those religious elite realized, "Who am I to judge? Who am I? Am I without sin?" And they drifted away. And soon it was just Jesus and the woman right there on the temple grounds. And when everyone was gone, Jesus turned to her and said this: "Where are those that accuse you?" Here she looks up and she realizes they're gone. She's not going to die. Not today. And Jesus says this: "There's no one here to condemn you, neither do I. So get up. Go on about your way, but don't sin anymore." You see, in this interaction, Jesus demonstrated the key reality when it comes to forgiveness. Our hearts can quickly harden when we are sinned against. But we've got to remember that we are not without sin ourselves. So here's the hidden reality of unforgiveness. It's a trap. Unforgiveness in your life will lure you in. It will grab hold of your heart until your heart becomes hard. And it will leave you to live a life filled with bitterness and anger. The solution? Forgiveness. Be kind and compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." This is, I know this is a lot of repeating words and religious speak, but here's the point. What kind of standard do you hold yourself up to? Or what kind of measure do you want measured against your life? Do you want mercy and compassion and kindness to be given to you? Well, then we should give it to others. He continues by saying this, "Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while you're walking around with a log in your own?" His response was the word that we hate and despise, but the reality is a lot of the world looks at us and thinks of this word, hypocrite. First, take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your own eye. Does anyone know what this is? The what? The Last Supper. Yeah? Did you know this? I want to know who took this picture. I didn't know they had cameras back then. How do we have this picture? It's a painting, is it not? It's a painting. Yeah. Are you familiar? Very familiar with the picture? Can you point out Jesus in the picture? Have you studied the picture at all? The more you look at it, the more interesting or incredible it is, and what he was trying to communicate as he painted this. But you see a person in the middle. That is Jesus. And Leonardo kind of says a lot with Jesus' placement and position within the painting. You can kind of see Jesus' position is where? He's right in the middle, is he not, of the picture. You see what's behind him? There's a window frame. And this light kind of paints a what? A halo around him. But there's something in this picture that you probably never noticed. Anyone know where Judas is? Or never knew? Judas is right here. Judas is kind of leaning away. Now, what's interesting is if you have some time, pull up this on your computer or your phone and zoom in and look, because there's a lot of detail taking place on the table in the relationship between Judas and Jesus, i.e. where their hands are placed. You can't really see it here, but there's something going on. And you think about when this photograph or this painting is being painted. You didn't know you were going to art class this morning, did you? Just for clarity, I didn't do very well in art class in college, but nevertheless, we're here. When is this, what is happening in the picture? Like, at what point during the supper is he painting? Anyone know? Immediately after Jesus says, "Someone is going to betray me." And then we have this snapshot from his perspective. So there's a lot going on here with what's taking place in this interaction. But just know, here is Judas, here is Jesus, okay? Now, something you probably never knew. When Leonardo was beginning to paint this portrait, one of the most well-known and remembered paintings in all of history, one of the greatest draftsmen, engineers of all time, one of the greatest thinkers. Right when he started working on this painting, he got into a fight with another artist. It's characterized as a violent quarrel. I've been in a few disagreements in my time with contemporaries or colleagues. I don't know if you would characterize any of them as a violent quarrel, but nevertheless, Leonardo is there. He gets into it with another painter. He gets so mad and becomes so bitter that he makes a decision when he starts painting this picture. You know what that was? His goal was to put that other painter's face on the face of Judas, so that for all of history, people would know what kind of scoundrel that artist was. Every time they saw Judas's face, they would remember. So that's the first thing he did when he started painting. He painted Judas. And as he continued painting, Leonardo ran into a problem. When it came to painting Jesus, he couldn't paint. Something was keeping him, holding him back from painting his Savior in this picture. He got frustrated over and over and over again. And finally he figured it out. The issue in his heart was the bitterness and the anger. And the reality that he had painted his enemy is Judas. So you know what he did? He went back. He fixed Judas's face and removed the face of the other artist, which freed the painter's block and allowed him to finish the Last Supper. You see, you cannot at one and the same time be painting the features of Christ in your life, all the while painting the faces of enmity and hatred in others. The truth is, unforgiveness will freeze you in time. It will cement your feet in bitterness, and you will watch the world pass you by. You see, when we read the Word, we discover something. Jesus says it over and over again. The apostles tell us as they write in the epistles. We're even reminded as we're reading 1 John right now. Obedience is key, and forgiveness is necessary. So how can we, Christians, live without forgiving one another? How can we, followers of Jesus, sit at the table with bitterness and anger in our hearts? We must forgive, just as He has forgiven us. Let me ask you a question. Have you found forgiveness in Christ? Now, I know a lot of you are going to say, Pastor, I've been a Christian for a long time. I've found forgiveness. Just because you're a believer doesn't mean you're not struggling with this. Do you have something in your heart, an issue with a friend that's keeping you from sitting at the table with Jesus? Have you found forgiveness today? Here's the other question. Have you forgiven them? You know who I'm talking about, right? The person that's supposed to be sitting next to you that you just can't stand because of that bitterness in your heart. Maybe it's that friend that's drifted in relationship. Maybe it's your coworker. Or maybe it's even your spouse. You've got an issue and it's just festering. Friend, it's time to forgive. It's time to forgive. Because that unforgiveness is just holding you back. So let's get a jump start today, and let's choose not to be a Grinch. And let's learn to forgive each other. Why? Because Jesus has forgiven us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the chance to sit. And soak in your word. God, I don't know what's going on in the hearts and minds of those around here. But I am confident in this, that this word is meant for someone. So God, in the next few moments, do your business. Convict our hearts, draw us to you. May we seek forgiveness from you for our failures. We may be coming in shame just like that woman. But may we leave with joy at the freedom you provide. God, if there's any root of bitterness in our hearts, as we struggle in relationships with one another, Father, I pray that you would break those chains this morning. God, we love you. And we thank you for your truth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.